Julio Jones, Roddy White, and Tony Gonzalez. You know, Tony gets 120 more yards. I think you guys become the sixth team in NFL history to have three 1,000-yard receivers. I mean, how spoiled do you feel down there with three guys like that?
Well, we've got a lot of guys that deserve opportunities to touch the football on our offense. And the three guys that you mentioned have done a really good job for us this year. It gives our offensive coordinator and our quarterback a lot of options when we're putting our game plan together during the week, and the quarterback gets an opportunity to go out there and execute it.
You played against the Lions last year when they were, you know, as hot as any team in the NFL, and obviously right now they're as cold as any team in the NFL. What are the differences that you see in the team?
Guys, I think that there's not a whole lot of difference in the two teams. It's a fine line in the NFL. We all know that. That's a very talented football team on both sides of the football. They've got one of the best defensive fronts in all of football. And when you watch the tape and you're not really concerning yourself but really studying them, this is a very good football team on both offense and defense.
Can you relate to a team like Detroit? I mean, you've played a lot of close games this year. You've won a lot of close games. They've also played in a lot of close games but haven't found a way to win those games. Can you relate to a team like that playing so many close games?
Guys, the world we live in the NFL, between 55 and 60% of the games are one-score games historically, and if you look it up this year, I'm sure it's been very close to that. And about 25% of them are 3 points or less. So, you know, it's very close. And as I mentioned earlier, it's a fine line. And we've been fortunate to find different ways to win games, and we've won them a lot of different ways. And I think that helps your football team when you're able to get the outcome that you want when you're playing these tight games.
Mike, how do you avoid a letdown after, you know, what seemed like a statement game on Sunday, you know, playing against a Lions team that seems pretty desperate?
Well, you always concern yourself when you're playing, quote, a desperate team. I don't know that the Lions are a desperate team. They're a very good football team. I'm just using your words there. We're playing for a whole lot. There's a whole lot, for us to be playing for, and I'm sure that the Lions are as well. And I would not anticipate that. We've got a very strong locker room. I believe that you win in the locker room first, and it's about those men, sometimes more than scheme. They've got to enjoy being around each other and enjoy playing the game, and we've got a really good group down there.
Mike, if you wouldn't call them desperate, I mean, what would you call them? I mean, they've lost six straight. They know the postseason's out of the mix. I mean, is there anything they can do in these last two games to salvage it? You know, based on, you know, your experience as a coach?
I said, again, the games that we play are so close, and the outcomes are determined by five or six snaps. So there's not a whole lot of difference between the number one team in the National Football League and the 32nd when you really start comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges. We have to go out there and compete every week, and one team's usually going to get the outcome they want. One team's not. Occasionally, there's a tie.
You said last week after the Giants game about Matt Ryan that there are things that don't show up on a stat sheet about him that he's doing really well this year. I'm just curious what you meant by that.
Well, you know, I think the quarterback and the head coach are the most scrutinized positions, and probably the quarterback first, and then the head coach. There's things that Matt does during the week in our preparation, not only preparation for him individually, but for preparation for our team. And those are the things that I was alluding to. It's not always about completions, touchdown passes, quarterback rating. There's getting into the right play, getting us out of a bad situation pre-snap. Those are the things that he's doing extremely well.
How about your scrutiny of, or your coach's eye on Matt Stafford? What do you see from him in the season he's having this year?
Matt is a very good passer. He's uh, He's a guy that can make all the throws, and he's got some escapability. I think he's got a very very quick release. He's got a strong arm, and he's got he's been handicapped a little bit because of some injuries at certain positions. But in my mind, he's got one of the best wide receivers in all of football. He is a tough guy to to game plan and have to stop.
Mike, though, are there any receivers for Detroit now? I mean, Pettigrew is kind of hobbled. Anybody who scares you in the receiving core not named Calvin Johnson?
They've got a good group of receivers. They don't have a whole lot. They don't have a whole lot of experience. And they've gone. They've gone through some injuries. Stephon Logan is a guy that you watch him on punts and kickoff returns. He's very dangerous. Kasim Osgood, I think, he's a guy that has played in this league for a long time. Really good special teams player. Durham doesn't have a whole lot of whole lot of experience, but they've had some injuries at the wide receiver position. But this time of the year, everybody's playing with guys that are banged up, and their roster's much different than what it was on opening day.
How do those injuries affect the passing game? These guys here don't want to use that as an excuse, but can you just put into words how that affects the passing game?
It takes options away. At the start of the season, there were obviously more options for Matthew and the offensive staff to in their passing game. And cool. Now that those guys aren't there, so it limits it does limit the options that are available.
What did you see what did you like about Chris Houston when he was there, and what have you seen from him on film, or just you played him last year, over the last couple of years, now that he's been with Detroit?
Yeah, Chris has played very well. He was a very good player for us, and he's done a very nice job there. Chris is one of the most competitive guys I've been around. You love to be around competitive guys, and he is a guy that will come out and compete every single day. He's done a very nice job. Been very impressed with his skills, and I think he's looks like he's a leader in their secondary.
Coach, of course, Calvin approaching Jerry Rice's record here. Can you just talk about your approach to defending a guy like that?
Well, you've got to know where he's going to be lined up, and they're moving him around a little bit more this year than they have in years past. The numbers that he is putting up are just unbelievable. I mean, he's getting he's got the possibility of setting the all-time NFL record. You've got to make sure that you have you're never going to really get a favorable matchup, but you want to make sure that you don't have a real bad matchup in terms of getting him on a guy that is not going to have a chance to be successful. And that's the thing that you've got to do. You've got to put your game plan together to spend some resources on how you're going to stop Calvin, because Calvin is an integral part of their offense.
How many players, not like Calvin, but how many players typically a week do you have, that you do game plan for on another team's offense? Is it one? Is it two that demand the bulk of a
coach? Yeah, it depends on, it depends on what the game plan is for that week. And there's different dynamics each and every week in terms of who you feel like you have to stop. But I can assure you, every team that played the Detroit Lions, one of their musts that they go in is they feel like that they must be able to, to contain Calvin Johnson. And up to this point, I don't think anybody's done a very good job of it. His numbers are just out of this world.
Yeah. How much residual do you think there is from last year, the incident on the field where some of your players were saying that Sue and Averill were taunting Matt Ryan when he was hurt?
Guys, what happened last year is going to have no bearing on the outcome of the game this week. As I said earlier, that's a very talented team, and doesn't matter who you're playing. You always throw the records out, and you go out and you compete. And and I know Coach Schwartz and his staff will have those guys ready to play.
Did players say anything to you about that afterwards, though? I mean, do you know what was said?
No,
exactly?
Guys. Again, that was something that I was not aware of during the game, wasn't aware of after the game, and it wasn't a big deal.